This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
LeVar Arrington, you inspired somebody. You inspired somebody.
Who?
That did somebody feel, is Brady.
Did you realize you were inspirational last night, LeVar?
No.
You did not?
No.
Let me tell you, buddy.
Please. Yes. Just hit
now
me.
You
okay.
know.
Okay,
now
go
you
ahead.
Know.
Hit me with it.
Well, I mean, when you serve up a picture that has that sort of chicken parm,
yeah,
I can only go on a quest then to find chicken parm.
Did you find
and
it?
You, oh, yeah. I found it.
Oh,
and it
yeah.
was delicious.
I mean, it's just such an excuse to go to chicken parm. Like, you look for any reason to get triggered over chicken
well,
parm.
I must say, yeah, I was inspired because of you guys talking about it. Brady talks about eating 5-10 pounds of it. You know, I was like, man, I need to get on some chicken parm tonight. Man, I went straight to sleep. I ate that chicken parm. I sat on the couch. I went straight to sleep. Yep. I did not collect it'll 200. I just went past go to sleep.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, man. It shuts me down. It just shuts me down.
Like, oh, it shut me down. I went to sleep.
But I would be worried
well,
about Jonas, oversleeping.
Jonas means something else.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would
lactose
worry.
Intolerant?
Well, no. I would worry
too
about
much cheese.
See, if I go into a food coma with this, look. You know this.
It ain't a food coma. He just sleeps on the toilet all night.
You know this. Waking up the time we do to do this show, you're rolling the dice. You eat something with heavy carbs like that the night
before.
Well,
that's true.
Like that's if something sits heavy like that the night before, you are rolling the dice, man.
Hey, let me tell you something. It makes radio so difficult. Like, it will make your life impossible. You will not be able to do radio if you have chicken parm the night before.
That is a good point, man. Much appreciated. The insults are flying early. There he is. Good person,
Brady,
folks.
Brady was having his moments in Iowa. It was kind of funny.
Hey, listen, you know, just
I don't have those moments like that though. Every once in a while, like that business is that business, and you might not hear me because you guys will be talking while I'm walking, you know, duck walking, penguin walking, you know.
What are you referring to?
Tight leg walking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Every once in a while, but not often.
Yeah, you mean,
at all.
When you got to run, literally.
Yes.
Yeah, it happens, man. Sometimes that happens. I mean, not to me.
You got
to
deal with the run sometimes.
Yeah, it definitely happens from time to time. But again, you know, chicken parm got after it. Now, how many pieces did you have, Brady? Because normally you're good for 5 to 10. So how many did you have on
location?
It was just one.
Yeah, it was
one
just
big
nice,
one, though.
Big, delicious piece of chicken parm.
You didn't ask for extra.
No.
Okay. I mean,
at a restaurant? I mean, come on, man. They rack up the charges on that. Roberto knows. I mean, you look at the cost of making that at home versus what you pay in a restaurant for it. My God.
Yeah. LeVar sent over a dish. You had everything. You had the noodles.
Yeah,
you had the
broccoli.
Parm. Was it broccoli Florentine? Is that what they call
that? No, it was just broccoli.
I mean, man, that and broccoli? Jesus.
Yeah,
somebody get me a gas mask. This is going to be a rough morning.
Why?
Because that and broccoli, anybody who's ever had broccoli before knows it does two things. It fills you up, and then it comes flying out like it stole
My
something.
My belly is fine, guys.
All right.
It's all right.
All right, just want to make sure.
I don't know about that. We'll see here in an hour.
I wasn't stressed out watching the Dodgers game and the Giants game. I was good. I was comfortable. You know what I mean?
Good transition there. I see what you did.
Yeah, I was comfortable.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, did nothing for me. Like my what was it, cortisol levels, I was good, man. I'm good.
I'm just glad we can be done with baseball after this. I mean, that was the World Series last night, wasn't it?
That is a good
no,
point.
I mean, was that the World Series or not?
Yeah, that is a good point. Well, I mean, I think the World Series is shown on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. So, of course,
you're not going to get a better game than what you saw.
You're not
going to
get a better
night.
Series than that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, you know, it's just a shame that you know, the rich continue to get richer. I mean, you know, all that talent continue to get everything. Finally, win a World Series on a shortened season, and then they get the benefit of a call to end the game.
Was it or was it not a check swing?
It was not a swing. I mean, he did not go around. I mean, anybody who says he went around.
He should have just went ahead and swung.
I mean, but, you know, he didn't. I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes you run the red light, sometimes you don't run the red light, and he didn't run the red light.
I will say this.
He got caught
losing out on a check swing is one of the most demoralizing things.
It's awful.
As a baseball player. I mean, I grew up playing baseball all my life. It's awful because, and LeVar has talked about this before, like and they talk about this in football all the time. If you make a mistake, at least make it going full go.
Full go.
Like, don't make any half-ass mistakes or don't give any half-ass effort. A check swing is always like half-ass effort.
Yeah.
Like, it's like an indecisive. It's like one of those throws a quarterback makes.
It's unsure.
When he looks unsure or indecisive, yeah. It gets picked off. That's essentially what a check swing is. And I was watching that thinking, oh, all right, well, that's going to eat you. Like, that's going to eat you up for at least the next year.
I mean, I don't know how, like, if you're a Dodger fan, like, we don't know anybody but that's a Dodger fan. But if you were a Dodger fan, I don't know how you feel good about that.
Feels beautiful, baby. It's what it's called. Karma. Karma. Dodgers lost to the Giants the same way this year. It cost them the division. They would have been playing this game at Dodger Stadium. Karma. Oh, it was so sweet.
I mean, again, like that.
Oh,
I mean,
it was so sweet. Oh, beautiful. Wow. I got something for all the Giants fans.
That's one of those belligerant fans, like, you know, that's how you are when you're beautiful. like a horrible winner.
I mean, that sounds like somebody who would celebrate a half World Series.
Beautiful.
It's just
it still counts, baby. Still get the trophy.
That is
you don't
true.
Get you don't get half a trophy. Shame. You get a full trophy.
It's just a shame, man. I just feel I feel bad because it's back to back years now.
Back to back. That's right. We're going back to back.
The LA Dodgers can't really celebrate champions because there's asterisks all
because of a check swing.
I don't know about all.
There's no check swing in the rule book anyway, so I don't know. I mean,
let me tell you something.
There's no check swing in the.
We need to create a TV show, a movie series, a whatever series called Natural Born Haters.
What's that?
You.
Who do you want me to host?
You wouldn't be a host. You'd be the start
exactly.
I'm trying to be. I am
natural
trying,
born haters.
Hey, I am simply trying to represent the common man.
You remember Buck Nasty and all them guys on the Chappelle show? I hate you. I gotta get home to get some milk and water for your mama. Her dishes are empty.
I'll sprinkle some crack on them, Johnson.
Sprinkle a little bit of that on there. Golly, bro.
I mean, listen.
You belong at the haters' ball, man.
I feel bad. You know. For people out there, the common man. I've always said this. I represent the common man. Brady knows.
Oh,
this,
so the San Francisco Giants are the common man.
Damn right, man. Like yeah, you know, sure. Just the hard luck organization. They do it the right way. You know,
and anybody that thought Wilmer Flores was going to actually get a hit in that situation, he was going to be out anyway.
I mean,
that
again,
dude sucks
because his last name is Flores. Roberto's got to attack him.
Take out that last name.
That's Flores on Flores crime. We're going to accept that here on the show to start off a Friday.
I'm not.
And he's ugly too, man.
He's
ugly Flores. Okay.
Jeez. Now that is cold blooded right there.
I mean, there's critiquing his play,
Berto
just getting personal.
Hit the
now.
Button. Hit the button, Berto.
Yeah, better, Roberto.
You're better than that.
Yes.
Call yourself out on
you're
that.
You're better than that.
Unbelievable. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Flores. Flores.
Gabe Morales. God, that guy's a great umpire, man. Give it to him.
I mean,
good job, man.
He might have been on the take.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I agree, Brady. That's a good point. I think he was on the take. They should do an investigation.
It's terrible on there. Something's going on.
It's rough, you know, but again, you know, our thoughts and prayers to the San Francisco Giants and their fans, you know, who I'm
thoughts
sure.
And prayers to them.
Yeah. You know, I feel
now you can now they can go down the street season. To San Francisco and wear their ugly colored uniforms because it is Halloween season, right?
So. Yeah. I mean, this is
you know, they said crime is up in San Fran, man. They said a lot of 7-Elevens are getting
something else
off.
That's up, too. Check out poopmaps.com. Go see what that takes you.
Ew.
Yeah, listen.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody
when your city has a website where you can see where there's human feces,
ew.
You got problems. All right? You got problems.
Is that real? Ew. That's a real
I
thing?
I mean, just Google it. You tell me.
He shoved it up our butt twice.
Yeah, that was Cody Bellinger, who I think realized halfway through his comment that it was going to sound awkward, talking about the starter web for the Giants. Play that again from Cody Bellinger. If we have it.
He shoved it up our butt twice.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I give him credit, though, because he was already way too far down the road to turn back, and he just said, let me try and land it as softly as I can. So just he went nose down. And
then you're just going to go just step right into it, huh? You're going to just step on the landmine, huh? All right.
Why not?
Update.
Softly.
That specific website is actually now up for sale. My guess is Gavin Newsom realized it's probably not good for the state of California to have a city with poop maps.
Oh,
so he probably was able to take that one down somehow.
Well, I mean, what's he worried about? Everybody's got to wear a mask anyways. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to smell anything.
Very true.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You're still going to step on it. Yeah. So that's more the issue there,
I think.
Trying to maneuver around it.
Either that or over a homeless person who's there. So, you know, you just got to pick and choose your battles. You know, anybody who's familiar with that. So, again, but again, you know, all of that.
Your hate extends to the shelteredly challenged population.
No, listen.
That is it's very low brow, bro.
I mean, it is not.
You're very low. That,
you're better,
you are better
so,
than that.
So I'm being attacked. You had an ump who butchered a call on Costativa's season last night, and I'm being attacked.
Job game.
I'm being attacked. All right.
Yeah. You did come in here like hot, like, ah, it was a check swing.
There were probably some betters last night who I think between that game, the baseball game, and Thursday Night Football, who were pretty upset with those outcomes.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you something. If they weren't a drug addict before, if you bet on those two games and you had the Giants money line and you had Bucks minus -7, you are a full-blown heroin addict. Not even debatable based on what happened.
I mean, because the one thing – well, we'll get into Thursday Night Football. But anytime you're losing on, like, a controversial call or like, you have a team who's in position to be able to cover that, it goes to show you that I don't know that really teams are that aware of what the spread is, one. And then, two, you just feel helpless. You literally feel helpless. It's like being on a plane with turbulence.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like, oh, it's out of my hands, man. If this thing, I've got to rely on the pilot. If this thing goes down, it's going down.
And there's nothing worse. It's terrible.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So Tom Brady's just never going to retire, right? Like, it's just never going to – because what's the point?
What's the point?
It's unbelievable, man. I think he's a top 5 to 10 quarterback in the NFL, no questions asked, and there's no point in even ever bringing up a discussion again unless he suffers a major injury about him retiring. That's it. Brady, he's playing for another 10 years. Call it right now.
I mean, if he wanted to, he probably could. I was actually having this discussion with Matt Leinart, and you're not going to like this, okay? We were talking about this yesterday, just about Alex Guerrero. His, I don't know if you want to call him a physiotherapist, whatever you want to call Alex Guerrero. And he was just like, man, you never felt better until after Alex had worked on you. And like, whether it was from an injury or whatever the case may be, there was just something about how he worked, how he trained, everything else. And that's got to be one of those recipes for success. It's one of the reasons why I think those two have been so close throughout all of it. And I think it, you know, even with the breakup in New England, that was kind of a piece of it, right? Is how they were treating Alex Guerrero, taking away access to certain things, the whole TB12 method. But because of what they've done together, I'm just saying, like, because of that, he probably can. Like, he's said it. Like, he said, my body can probably last another 10 years playing. And I don't doubt that. I mean, he's going to have to be on a team with a situation like what's there in Tampa, where they have an offensive line that's legit and a bunch of players around him that help too. But physically, yeah, I think it comes down to at some point – he might be looking at his kids, and they might be asking, like, what more do you have to prove, you know?
I mean, look, we always one of the thoughts is that LeBron wants to keep playing so that he can eventually be a teammate with one of his – with his son. Like, he wants to play with his son. Like, that's his ultimate goal. I mean, who knows? I mean, at this point, that should be Brady's ultimate goal. I think his kid's, like, 12. Like, why not? Like, screw it. He's got another 10
years. I thought he was
closer
to 14, 15.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, listen, round up, if you will. I mean, who cares? But the point being – I almost forgot they had O.J. Howard.
Mm.
Like, I almost forgot that, oh, they got him, too.
The Eagles did, too.
Yeah, they're loaded, man. Like, that team is loaded. And Antonio Brown has completely revitalized his career. And he came back on a bargain deal, right? Like, on a one-year deal for pennies in comparison to what he was making. Like, it seems like that guy could go get a big deal somewhere else if he ever wanted to leave Tom Brady. I don't know, man. I think they are loaded top to bottom. And I think that's...
Well, he came back on, like, a $3 million deal, on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that, I mean, he's 33 years old. I wonder how much of that plays into some of the off the field stuff, because he still has some lingering stuff out there. I wonder how much of that played into it. But no, he Antonio Brown looks great, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, Gronkowski looks great, by the way. I mean, I know he's not out there now, but when he was earlier, when you saw him in New England at the end of his time there, he looked like he was broken down. He looked like he needed a year off. Now you see him, and outside of, you know, the rib injury he's dealing with that he'll be back, you know, next week for, I just, you know, you go, all these guys. And it comes down to, I think, how they're preparing themselves now off the field, or how they're training.
Yeah, I just you mentioned Alex Guerrero. I can say this with almost certainty here, that the only person that he won't work with is Deshaun Watson. I can assure you on that.
Just why? Why? Know. He might be okay with that.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Oh, yeah, geez. I want to make that very clear.
I'm just saying. What's the problem? Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. What's the problem?
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I mean, you know, I just want to point that out here, make that very clear. Their defense is suspect, though, right? I mean, it's clearly not the defense it was a year ago. Richard Sherman,
pass defense.
Yeah,
their pass defense.
Yeah.
Not their run defense.
Yeah, run defense is always good. The pass defense, though, Richard Sherman, I mean.
He took that pimp lean on off to. Boy, he was in that gangster lean back to that locker room, man.
Can you describe what that is, Lamar, as a defensive player? Describe what that is, what Richard Sherman was doing last night.
He was walking to his retirement. That's the best way to put it.
That's it.
He was pimp lean, and all he needed was a cane and his homies, and he was heading to the streets. You know, he was taking it to the streets. That hamstring, what they said it was his hamstring?
Yeah.
Nah, man, that was his career.
Jeez.
He pulled his career, man. That is a strain. You know, that's a rip. You know, it's almost gone. I mean, I'm just listen. When that baby got out there, Devontae got out there and started running and hitting those different
baby deer,
bro.
I
know Richard Sherman's eyes and his brain were like, I've seen this 100 times, but his hamstrings, his legs, his ankles, toes, they was like, hell no, bro, hell no. Are you being serious right now? Like, do you think that this is what we're going to be doing? Like. No. He's old. He got the old man body, bro. I looked that way in New York. Like, I looked the way Richard Sherman looked last night. I looked that way in New York.
Charles Barkley says that when he's talking about players towards the end of their career. It's almost like he can identify because he called himself out on his own. I knew when I was done. He's all physically. Yeah. I knew when I was done.
Oh, you got the old man movement, the old man body. Yeah, it's different.
You can tell, man. I remember coming back from back surgery, and I told you guys I had issues with drop foot. And I remember dropping back once. I'm just, like, training. And I was like, yeah, that ain't it. Like, I was like, yeah, I really want to keep playing, but like, I feel like I'm stuck. I feel old and like helpless. I'm like, yeah, that's not it. And like, you come to a realization where you're watching yourself on film and you're like, God, I feel old. I'm moving terribly. And I was in my low 30s at that point. And I'm just like, that ain't it, man. Like, that is not where I thought I'd be at this point in time in my career. Or my body's not moving how I want it to right now.
Then immediately you go straight into everybody sees me. They know. Everybody knows.
They see that. They're seeing that too.
Damn it. Everybody knows.
Mark Schlereth said that he knew when he was done because he was watching film and he was asking, God, who's that? Like, he literally didn't know that it was him on film because he was playing so poorly. And he said, I got to get out of here. Like, this is not – it's just not happening
anymore.
I'm
not saying I was playing poorly. I'm just saying I was not who I was. Like, for instance, I remember the opener we played against the Colts, and Joseph Addai got the ball. Ooh. And I'm like, this is an easy one. Like, right? I'm like, this is an easy one, Brady. Like, I'm going to get him at the line, maybe a TFL. Like, let's get this thing popped off right. And in my mind, I'm going, like, I've been able to have those conversations, go make the play. He was around me before I could finish my thought. Like, I was, this is an easy one. Whoa! Hey! Where you going? Get back here! Get back here! I'm reaching for him. I'm running. I'm reaching for him. Couldn't catch him.
Like an old man yelling at his kids.
Hey, man, look here. I sat there. I saw Joseph go around that corner. I was like, this everybody sees it. Everybody knows. That's run at LeVar.
That's got to be such a helpless feeling.
It is.
Oh, it's like a sex tape getting out there. You know? That's the only equivalent. Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but I would imagine that's how it feels. You feel exposed is what you feel
that's
like.
That's a good point. That's a comparison I was thinking of, for
was
sure.
Was it? I figured I'd just go there for you.
For sure. Hey, you know, careful.
It would help you with the transition.
It made some people famous.
Yeah, that'll make
it
careers.
It worked out for some.
That'll make careers.
Just not for others.
Hey, man, say whatever you want about
it. Exact opposite now that I think about it.
I mean, hey, Kim K is a hell of a businesswoman. All right. She, like, you can't deny the success there. So
you can't, you honestly.
Know, certain people go to school, certain people, you know. They go elsewhere. You know, that's how they get educated on
that's
the process.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
So that's not a lie. That is the truth.
Down. Yeah.
Yes. So with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm going to just ask the easiest question in the world. Are they better or worse than last year?
Offensively, they're better.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But there's more continuity.
But defensively is the issue.
Defensively, they could get caught up in the secondary. If it turns into, like, if they played against Kansas City again, which I don't know because I'm not high on Kansas City right now. But if you play against a team that can somewhat be effective enough in the run where you can slow down the pass rush – of Tampa Bay, they could have problems.
So who's that team in the NFC? Green Bay?
I mean, not really, because I don't think Green Bay will be able to run against them. But I do think Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams will be able to expose their issues in the secondary. Now, we have to acknowledge Antoine Winfield wasn't playing.
True.
You know, you got Jamal Dean back. He had an interception. That was nice. But you're still banged up on the other side. I don't believe Carlton Davis is back. There's some issues there. JPP was, you know, coming off of an injury. You know, I don't know how close he is to 100%. So there's a lot of things, I think, defensively right now they're battling. You know what's happened is it's almost the script has flipped from where it was last year. It's like in the beginning last year where I thought they were playing pretty well defensively early on. Now they're playing so well offensively, it almost makes the defense look a little bit worse. Hmm. Even though the rush defense is great, it's just the injuries and all that have piled up on them. So I almost feel like they're like in the inverse position of where they were last year. And they're trying to get to that like complete team performance like we saw after week 11 last season.
What about Dallas? You don't think Dallas could.
Dallas.
Okay, you don't think Dallas could present a problem for them if they meet up again in
they're
the
looking
season.
Pretty good, man.
And they can run the ball. Yeah. And
they have an offensive line that can match up with their defensive front. Because Buddy in the middle, who? What's his name again? What's the defensive tackle, the zero technique that Tampa has?
Oh, Vita Vea.
Oh, my God.
You see, he couldn't get his jersey off last night or something afterwards? Wow. Or some of his shoulder pads?
That's not human strength.
I'll tell you another team that's a bad matchup, I think, for the Bucs. The Cardinals.
I like that.
I think the Cardinals would give that defense fits.
I just don't know if they would hold up defensively, though.
Ooh, I think they would, though. I think the way that defense is playing right now, I think they could match up on the outside. I think they could get after Tom Brady.
They can. Buddy's out right now, though. The pass rush, extraordinary.
Chandler Jones.
Chandler's
Jones,
out right
now. COVID. That COVID.
But, he'll be back. But, man, I don't know.
But I think Dallas is a good call. Obviously, Arizona. Green Bay is the other team you might be looking at thinking that, too. Outside of that, I don't know.
You might want to throw the Rams in there. You might want to throw the Chargers in there.
Well, for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, for a Super Bowl. Are we just saying NFC or are we just saying just in
NFC,
general?
Just NFC-wise. Right,
if we're just saying NFC, then, you got to look at the Rams.
Dallas, Green Bay, Arizona, and the Rams feel like
Dallas,
the teams.
Green Bay,
Arizona and the Rams.
Feel
like the teams that would make the most sense as far as teams that would provide a threat to Tampa Bay.
Don't give up on San Francisco yet either.
I don't know.
Garoppolo was out. Garoppolo, their only real like misstep. Garoppolo was out.
Oh, listen, I would love nothing more than San Fran and Tampa to meet in the playoffs.
Do you think if you're Tom Brady, and obviously now you know Jimmy Garoppolo and you aren't teammates anymore, So maybe he'd be more open to letting Alex Guerrero go work on him.
No chance.
But, I mean, now it might be standing in his way of getting to another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I might be locking that door again at old TB12 method. Yeah. I mean, I know that's a story you like to bring up all the time, Jonas.
Well, I mean, I just want to point. I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. That, you know, there was a story out there in the Seth Wickersham article in which Jimmy Garoppolo tried to get in the TB12 building there around Foxborough, and the door was locked. So, yeah. You know, I just for anybody who believes that, yeah. You know.
So, yeah. So what was the story? Everyone was inside milling around and exactly like Jimmy Garoppolo didn't exist.
And it's like the buddy you don't want coming to the party. And he shows up anyways, and he finds out, and then you pretend like nobody's home. It was like one of those things. The way that story was.
That's when you light something on fire. And you, there's a fire in the house.
Yeah, like they treated him like he was one of those kids who. And I mean, look, who hasn't done this from you know back in the day? One of the oldest tricks in the book. When you want to play a trick on somebody, a neighbor, you put a piece of dog crap in a brown paper bag. You put it on the front doorstep. You light it on fire. Then you ring the doorbell a bunch of times, and they immediately come. Out and the only thing they've got to do is worry about the home, so they want to put out the fire and they don't want to wait to get the hose, so they put it out with their shoe. Yeah, and then you get dog crap on your shoe. But I believe
I've never done that. Never thought about that.
Here's what's crazy about that.
That's something connected to you.
I actually looked it up in on Wikipedia, which is always 100% accurate, and they said that was actually invented in Dublin, Ohio. And I don't know what that means.
That's interesting.
I don't know what that means, but they said it definitely invented in Dublin.
By the way. Shout out to Wikipedia, always providing us with good content information. But stop asking me for donations, okay? I already donated
no
to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You cheap asses. You keep trying to come back
every
up.
Every year.
It's not even every year. Now it's like quarterly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, imagine? I'm donating. I'm doing my part. Stop barking up my tree. Go find someone else.
Yeah,
could you imagine if they got a quarter from every person that went on Wikipedia?
Oh, I give them more than a quarter.
But I'm just saying, could you imagine if they got a quarter donation? Yeah. From every person that went on Wikipedia.
Is Wikipedia the stripper of the internet? I mean, I'm serious.
What?
Like, they're constantly asking for money. You got to keep throwing money at them in order for them to perform.
They don't ask for money to perform. It's understood that you're going to pay.
Listen, that's a fair question.
Hold on. Let me just
fair
break this down.
I don't think that you should have took that to strippers, man.
Let me just break this down. Yeah. Wikipedia is providing you with what is the majority of the time accurate information, unless you can get to that page and edit it faster than they can see the edit, which I remember like my buddies who went to Kentucky used to always put on my Wikipedia page, he's an avid Kentucky basketball fan. They would always put that somewhere like the personal life, or they thought that was the funniest thing. It's so stupid, but like it would be up there for like a day or two because it wouldn't get flagged because it's not offensive or anything else. It's just something stupid. So anyway, I don't know that you're getting that content from a stripper.
Well,
so I don't know. That's a fair comparison.
Well,
like,
I don't think it's fair.
It was more about the financial exchange. Like,
strippers can provide you with information.
Yeah, listen, yeah,
yes,
yeah, they can.
100%.
What does that mean?
I'll
tell you a different time.
Yeah, but you know, just the point being, you throw a few bucks at them, they're going to perform. Like that's the point I was making. You know, and I think it's a fair point. I think it definitely is applicable to what we're talking about here on Sports.
Applicable.
You know, there's that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, speaking of a busy weekend, this man's always got a busy weekend. It is Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst.
Joel!
Always kind enough to join us here on FSR. Joel, it's Jonas, LeVar, and Brady. How's everything going in Austin?
It's going, I gotta tell you. They are trying to lick their wounds after a tough tough loss last week, but yeah, this one should be a good one.
And so you've got Oklahoma State and Texas, which is the noon Eastern time game on Fox. And look, I don't know how the hell, if I'm a Texas fan, I ever recover from that game last week. I don't know how that happened, especially to your arch rival.
The 21-point lead, it looked so good for them early in that game. They came out with so much great energy, and obviously you can't even script it better than that. You can't plan for just a flip bubble screen to go the distance on the first play. Xavier Worthy goes down the sidelines, then they block a punt. They're up 28-7 all of a sudden, and then it was just kind of a methodical comeback from Oklahoma, and they just could not stop the run. They couldn't get off the field. And then there were so many times when they would get OU on the ropes, third and long, and Caleb Williams would just kind of throw a ball up. And it seemed like every single 50-50 ball, and to be candid, they seemed more like 30-70 balls, and Oklahoma would come down with them. And it was just, I mean, it was a crazy game and one of the best games I've ever watched, ever.
Mm. Joel, I wanted to ask you about the quarterback situation there at Oklahoma. Clearly, it seems like Caleb Williams provides a spark. Would you be shocked or, I guess, surprised if he wasn't the starter for Oklahoma this week?
Yeah, I'd be surprised just based on the way everything went last week. I think that there's been something missing from OU's offense as we watch it this year. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I thought that the offensive line played really poorly at times early in the season, in particular against West Virginia. Didn't give their offense much of a chance. And they finally started to come together last week. And I think part of it was the threat of Williams' legs, in particular that fourth down run that he goes 66 yards for a touchdown. That element is something that's always been there, really, for Lincoln Riley. Even Mayfield, although not a runner by any stretch of the imagination, he at least had that threat. And so the defense had to account for Mayfield, even in the run game. And evening out those numbers does so much for you as an offense. Obviously, with Kyler and Jalen, they were able to do that. And I think for the last couple of years, that's been the missing link to what makes them explosive. And so when Caleb came in the game, that ability to run or threaten a defense with his legs automatically opened up the run game, and all of a sudden they run for 339 yards. They've got 600 yards of total offense. The big plays are back. You know, it just felt more like OU to me. And so, yeah, I'd be surprised if it wasn't Caleb Williams, but I would also be surprised if this is the last we saw of Rattler. There's just something inside of me, as much as I hate a two-quarterback system, because I was a narcissist and didn't want anyone else to take my snaps. I think Rattler will get some time. I really do. I don't think that he's just going to pull the ripcord and sit this guy on the bench.
Hmm. All right. Iowa has Purdue this week. One thing I know about the Big Ten, Joel, is that we have the reputation of knocking one another off. Is where big as the game was this past weekend, loved the game, loved hanging with you, loved hanging with Brady and the rest of the guys. As disappointing as a loss as it was, I now need Iowa to run the table. And for that to, you know, happen, how likely is it? You know, we have, what, at least six teams in the top 10, and they're all on the same side except for one. Iowa is the only team that's on the other side of this as far as with the Big Ten who would meet in the Big Ten championship. How likely is it for Iowa to win out, and what do you think is the likelihood for one of these other teams, Ohio State or Penn State or Michigan State, to make it through on that side to the Big Ten championship?
Well, the East is crazy, right? Like, I have no idea how that's going to play out. It looks to me like Ohio State's hitting their stride at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly on offense, they're playing better defense. And the injuries for Penn State, that just like it crushes me. It breaks my heart. PJ Mustipher in particular, their defensive tackle.
Yeah.
But Iowa has won 12 straight games. And this was only the second time that they didn't win by double digits within those 12 games last week against Iowa. So I do have some confidence that Iowa can do to the West what it did last year and continue to win. Now, this week is sneaky, though.
It's sneaky. It's a trap game.
Purdue beat Iowa last year, 24-20 in the first game of the year. David Bell is the leading wide receiver in the Big Ten, going for about 109 yards per game. And in the last two times he faced Iowa, he went for 13 catches, 197, 13 catches, 121. Like, Brohm knows how to attack that zone defense with his passing game. And so, like, this one's an interesting one, in particular in that classic letdown mode the week after such an emotional win.
Yes.
You know, I think that number is 11, Brady. I don't know exactly the number, but I do think it's 11.
That's just what I'm talking about, Clack. That a baby. I mean, you know, can I ask this to follow up on that? Because the game you have, and I'm not asking you to pick, but and you've breaking down or preparing for this with Oklahoma State. How good is Oklahoma State in your mind? Because everyone kind of looks at their record and goes, well, they haven't played anyone. What do you see from them right now?
Well, it's so – I don't know if you ever get this way. I get frustrated with narratives out there because I think narratives can be lazy. And the narrative would be that Oklahoma State hasn't played anyone, and yet they're coming off back-to-back wins over ranked opponents. Like, and everyone's like, wait, really? Yeah, K-State was ranked. Baylor was ranked. And they won those games. They're undefeated. They're 5-0. They've got a running back that is averaging, you know, 155 rush yards per game over his last three games. Jaylen Warren has been very good for them. He's the transfer from Utah State. And as the offensive line has gelled, they've been able to overcome injuries at wide receiver and play solid enough on the offensive side. Because here's the thing. They're pretty good defensively. And nobody wants to talk about it in the Big 12. Nobody. Did you know Oklahoma State led the country in third down defense a year ago? They're doing similar things this year in the top 15 on third down. They get off the field. It might not be dominant defense like we see from Georgia or Iowa or even Penn State or Cincinnati, but they play really good defense and they get off the field and they add to the possession count for their offense. And while it's not a high-flying Big 12 typical Mike Gundy offense, they are getting better. They've had a rash of injuries at wide receiver, but they're getting healthier and they're developing a little bit more. Martin on the outside is a pretty good player. And he's a guy that they can single up and is 6'3". And in a 50-50 situation, I really like his chances, in particular with the lack of ball skills that Texas DB showed last week. So I think that this is a real sleeper-style team. I won't be surprised at all, Brady, if this is the team that ends up facing OU in the Big 12 championship game.
A little rematch.
He is Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Get him on Twitter, at Joel Klatt. Joel, just curious, because you've obviously covered a lot of Texas football and done a lot of these games over the past several years. And so we've always heard when Charlie Strong was hired, all right, Texas is back. Tom Herman gets hired, all right, he's the guy, Texas is back. What's different in your mind, if anything at all, with Steve Sarkisian as the hire as opposed to those two guys since Mack Brown left?
Well, I think it's that he's got a unique sense that the missing ingredient at Texas has not been recruiting. It hasn't been support. It hasn't been talent. It has been development. And the problem with Texas is that you cannot definitively say that they've taken a player that's come in with 5 stars or 4 stars and developed them further, and that they're better when they leave the program than when they came in. And he has talked at length about the development, and I think that that's what he probably learned the most at Alabama, because Alabama, as well as they recruit, I think that the secret at Alabama is that it's such a grind and a reckoning in that program. The players have to develop through one, competition, but two, just sheer fear of their coaching staff generally. And they do a great job of teaching, developing in the weight room. And when those guys, you know, are in their third year or fourth year, if they get to that point, they're better players than when they arrived. And Texas hasn't had that. And so even more than anything on the field, listen, he's creative as a play caller. I love watching. Brady, you and I will text back and forth that time when we're watching film of some of these teams, and it's like we get frustrated with some play callers, and then there's right. others that you're just like, man, I get it. He's got a strategy. You can see his plan. You can see how creative he is in terms of the way that he moves and gets people open, creates easy throws for his quarterback, creates ways to get the ball to talented players in a multitude of different ways. There was a play last week, and it was the play that made it 28-7. And it looks pretty nondescript and simple, but knowing the defense that Oklahoma is trying to run, he basically provides this, like, it was kind of a trip set, and then he motions the number one wide receiver from the trip side all the way across the formation. So that corner, he's responsible for number one. And Oklahoma's kind of playing a matchup man-style coverage. And all of a sudden, so the number one changes, and then at the snap of the ball, the two remaining receivers, they have a switch release. So the inside receiver, he's coming outside, and the outside receiver, he's coming inside. And that, you know, so all of a sudden, this corner, he's got three different players that he's responsible for in this man coverage in the span of like half a second. Motion, I've got the next guy. And then they switch release. Okay, now I've got this guy. And he puts a little play fake into that side of the field, and all of a sudden there's a beat of hesitation, and Moore is wide open for a touchdown. I know it's hard to explain on radio, but just these little nuances to make it difficult on defenses is what I really appreciate. So the two areas, his creativity on the offensive side, I think it's going to pay huge dividends, and then his focus on development is also going to pay huge dividends later.
Joel, I got one more quick one for you. What's up with the brouhaha between Kirk Ferentz and James Franklin?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what ground Ferentz has to stand on. I mean, it wasn't like those – it's not like a hurry-up offense Iowa likes to implement. I mean, I'm not sure what point he was trying to make in his presser this past week.
I don't either, and it's interesting. I don't know if you guys saw any of this, but I commented – well, let me back up. First of all, as you know, Brady, like when you're doing a game, your job is to basically like make observations, number one, for the fans that are at home that are not there. So you're making observations, and then you're also giving opinions, right? Like, and it's this marriage. And so part of my job was to say, like, hey, listen, like, the fans are booing because Penn State is injured again. And whether you like it or not, that's why they're booing. And it seems like it's happening after some big plays for Iowa. And then in the immediate sentence afterwards, I said, this is not tactical. There's no way you would want guys like P.J. Mustipher out.
No.
Brisker had to leave for a play, and Ebba Cady had to leave for a play. Like, these are the stars of the defense. You wouldn't
right.
want this. And I said that during the game. Well, Penn State fans, LeVar, as you know, they have selective hearing. So they immediately
yes.
said, like, well, Joel said we were faking injuries, which is the exact opposite thing that I said. But whatever. You know, it's all good.
I'll straighten it out. Don't worry about it.
Well, I mean,
I'll
you know,
that
and even
one out.
I chatted with Coach Franklin about it this week. But I was very surprised that Kirk Ferentz threw basically gasoline on that fire, in particular as kind of like the elder statesman in college football. I don't know. I mean, and here's the other part that you just never know. You never know if there's bad blood stemming from other things that are not on the field. Maybe it was a recruiting dust up that none of us know about, you know? And so there's clearly something else there, because I was really surprised, Brady, as you were, that Kirk said that.
Yeah. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports college football analyst. He will be on the call coming up noon Eastern time on Fox tomorrow for Oklahoma State at Texas as the Longhorns look to rebound from that devastating loss last week. Get him on Twitter, at Joel Klatt. Joel, we always appreciate it, man. We'll be watching. Thanks again. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks, fellas.
All right,
always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Yes, sir.